that we get to be part of that, the gospel to the ends of the earth, right? So that's the Great Commission, Cliff. All right, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and take them out. If you don't have a Bible, there should be a Bible somewhere there, excuse me, there on a seat back in front of you, and turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. It's the last chapter of Hebrews, and we are in the last portion of Hebrews. This is the last sermon in Hebrews. The next 2 weeks, over Palm Sunday and over Easter, we're going to be in Luke chapters 23 and 24. And so if you want, you can be reading ahead and kind of meditating on those passages, Luke 23 and 24, before we go into kind of the Easter holiday here. But we are finishing up 8 months in this sermon letter that is called Hebrews. And if you remember, the first 12 chapters, he's been telling us all about who Jesus is and about the sufficiency of the sacrifice of Christ, right? And they're being tempted to go back to the old covenant. He's saying, don't go back. Jesus is better. The new covenant and his blood is better. And now we got to chapter 13, and it's like he saved up all of the application here to the end. And now it's like rapid fire through like a dozen different applications, all right? So let's read this first. In fact, we're going to be in verses 17 to the end of the chapter, but let's just read the whole chapter. And hold on. Wait. Go back a little further. Go back to chapter 12, verse 28. That's where we're going to start. And we're just going to read through to the end of the book. Here we go. Father, open our eyes that we might see wondrous things from your word this morning. We love you in your precious name. Amen. 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 Therefore, in light of the 12 chapters that have come before this, all that truth, let us be grateful. Let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for he said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat, for the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside of the camp. So also Jesus suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For here, we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. And through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. And now the verses that we're going to focus on today. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Pray for us, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things. I urge you the more earnestly to do this in order that I may be restored to you sooner. Now, may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, may that God equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, bear with my word of exhortation, for I have written to you briefly. He considers this brief. You should know that our brother Timothy has been released, with whom I shall see you if he comes soon. Greet all your leaders and all the saints. Those who come from Italy send you greetings. Grace be with all of you. Amen. God's word. I was thinking about this week, and I'm like, okay, we've been talking about look to Jesus, right? How do I persevere in the faith, Nate? How do I persevere in my faith to the end, till I meet Jesus face to face, till he returns or he calls me home? And we've said, you do that by looking to Jesus, right? And as I've gone through this and was getting ready to prepare for this week, I was really excited because I remembered this benediction here at the end, this beautiful summary and blessing over this whole book and everything that we've been looking at. And I didn't remember that I had clumped the paragraph before it with it. And so I sat down like, oh, yes, digging into the benediction. And I read, obey your leaders and submit to them. And I'm like, oh, Lord, I don't want to preach that Sunday. I just want to preach the benediction. But this is where God's word has brought us. And the more I meditated on this passage this week, the more beautiful it became to me. And I'm glad I get to preach it to you today. So here's what I hope we'll walk away from today with. Godly leaders and saints will persevere in our faith together by God's grace. Godly leaders and saints will persevere in our faith together by God's grace. All right, so let's dig in this. First thing we need to see is we need to see these two categories, these two groups of people that he's speaking to in this paragraph in the local church. So look down at verse 24. Look at what he's saying. He says, greet all your leaders and all the saints. He's speaking to the leaders and the saints. The leaders here, we've talked about this before in Hebrews. More than likely, when Hebrews is talking to leaders, it's talking about the elders of the church. Notice, it's always plural. There isn't one leader, there are leaders. There's a plurality of leadership in these churches, right? And based on the nature of the work that we see them doing, we know that more than likely, these are the elders of the church. And he's speaking to two groups here. There are leaders and there are saints. And all the leaders are saints, but not all the saints are the leaders. Interesting. He says, leaders here are simply those saints that God has called to serve the church by leading. And when he says, all the saints are those that God has called to serve the church as they follow the leaders. I've been saying recently, I'm like, a leader is simply a follower that God pushes up front. A leader is really a follower that God says, I want you to be here. I want you to follow me, and I want others to follow you as you follow me. And when church leadership, where they get inside out and upside down, is when they forget that first and foremost, they're saints. They're followers of Jesus Christ, simply trying to faithfully lead in the church. And I think sometimes we struggle when we start talking about leadership in the church. I think one of the reasons we do that is because we've all had bad leaders, haven't we? We all have all known leaders who aren't godly, who've forgotten who they ultimately report to, which is Jesus Christ, by the way, who use their position to harm and not help, to manipulate and not shepherd for personal gain and not for God's glory. And so it makes it difficult to talk about sometimes. But we have to. Why? Because God's given us his word. That's why. And he has sovereignly designed the church to have godly leaders. And so it's important that we see what he says and how he commands concerning his structure. All right? So here's what we're going to talk about. Two things. The leader's responsibility and the saints' responsibility in the church. By the way, the word saints, it means holy ones, those who are sanctified. It's the believers. It's the members of the body of Christ. And you're like, well, hold on, Nate. Wait, you're going to talk to the leader's responsibility and the saints' responsibility. I'm looking at verse 17. Isn't that command to the saints, not the leaders? And to that I would say, yes, explicitly. But I can tell you this, implicitly, he is speaking volumes to the church leaders here. And so we're going to look at the leaders first, all right? So first this, the responsibility of sober and joyful church leaders. What's the responsibility of sober and joyful church leaders? Look down at verse 17. Let's start there. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they're keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Notice that last phrase. That's the first thing I think we see here. What is the responsibility of church leaders? Leaders are meant to advantage the church. Leaders in the church are meant to benefit the saints. Well, how are they a benefit to the saints? Back up in verse 17, and it tells you. It says, because they are keeping watch over your souls. They're keeping watch over your souls, your inner being. They are particularly concerned and attentive to the spiritual life of the church. Well, how do they do that? Keep backing up. Back up all the way to last week. And I want to remind you, verse 7 in chapter 13 tells us that. He says, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Verse 7 shows us one of, if not the primary way in which church leaders watch over the souls of the saints. They believe God's word. They live according to God's word amongst the saints, and they teach God's word to the church. And they do this, jump back to verse 17, recognizing that they will have to give an account, that they are accountable to God for the way that they steward his church. That is a sobering and a weighty reality. And I'm not quite sure how that will all happen in eternity and how and what it will look like to stand before the Lord and to give an account to the way that we have walked faithfully in the calling that he's given us as leaders in this local church. We talked about it this past Tuesday as elders, and we reflected on what a privilege it is to do this and how much God cares about and loves his church. And so it's a weighty and sobering call. And we'll be held accountable for how we stewarded you. And what manner in which are we supposed to do this? It says, with joy and not groaning. That's the manner in which we're supposed to go about leading in the local church. Joyfully and not with groaning and complaining. Grouchy leaders who hate the work that they do are not a benefit to the saints. And so this is a call to not be that. And then look in verse 18 and what our desire ought to be as leaders. We ought to desire to act honorably in all things. So, the leaders of the church are supposed to benefit the local church, the saints. They benefit the local church by keeping watch over your souls. The primary way in which we keep watch over your souls is the way in which we believe. We walk by faith in God's word. We live it out amongst you and we teach it to the church. And we're meant to do this recognizing first and foremost that we are accountable to the great shepherd, to Jesus Christ. And so we walk in this soberly and yet joyfully and not with groaning, seeking to act honorably. I'd summarize it all this way. Leaders are meant in the local church to be easy to follow. He's saying, be easy to follow. And a joyful leader who loves what God has given him to do and walks faithfully in that according to God's word will be one that's easy to follow. The responsibility of sober and joyful church leaders, godly leaders, are a necessary means of grace that God utilizes to persevere his church in the faith. So remember Hebrews, the whole thing. Keep going. Look to Jesus. Persevere to the end, church. Guess what? Leaders in God's church are tools in the hands of God's Spirit to help his people do just that. That's what we're called to. Next. The responsibility of submissive and engaged saints. the responsibility of submissive and engaged saints. One way that we persevere and we don't reject the gospel. Remember all these warning passages that we've seen across Hebrews? It's like, don't walk away. Don't turn your back on this. Don't reject Jesus. Don't reject the good news about him. One way that we don't reject the gospel is by following godly leaders. Look at verse 17 again. Obey your leaders. Submit to them because they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Obey your leaders and submit to them. This word here for obey, it's the idea of being persuaded or convinced to a particular point of view or course of action, resulting in trust and confidence. Hear that again. Obey means to be persuaded or convinced to a particular point of view or a course of action that results in trust and confidence. Wait, what are the leaders supposed to be persuading you of, convincing you of? Like Christ and his sufficiency and his word and your perseverance in the faith, right? They're believing God's word and living it and teaching it. They're persuading you, follow Jesus and follow us as we follow him. And it, so it says, obey them and yield. Yield is to give way. To submit means to give way or to yield. Now notice there, that's not a mindless following of manipulative or ungodly leaders. It's not what's happening. But rather it's yielding to faithful, joyful, sober, God-glorifying leadership. Not perfect by any means, but desiring to act honorably in all things. Look back at 17 there again. And notice the phrase there in the middle that says, let them do this. Let them do this with joy and not groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. It's a little bit obscured in the way that the ESV translates it here, but the NIV helps us kind of see what that phrase is getting after. It says, do this so that their work will be a joy and not a burden. Do this, this being what? Obey and yield to their leadership so that their work will be joyful and not a burden. In other words, give them a reason to be joyful and not sorrowful by yielding to their godly leadership. So just as leaders should seek to be easy to follow, saints should seek to be easy to lead. Right? Grumpy, grouchy, grumbling leaders are of no benefit to the church, right? And grouchy, grumbling saints are of no benefit to the leaders because they're hard to lead. And so see what it's doing. It's beginning to show us, right, that on either side of this, we're supposed to be leaning into the other. And it's really cool. Another thing to note for this, right? It's easy to go here and say, because they keep watch over your souls, those who will have to give an account. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but I would do this. It's like, oh, leaders, remember you're accountable to the Lord. Remember you're accountable to the great shepherd. And I would say, be careful. It's not just the leaders that are accountable for their actions. And no one else is. Just because his particular focus right here is on the leaders. Romans 14:12 says, each of us will give an account of himself to the Lord. We are all accountable. We will all stand accountable to the Lord for our obedience to his commands. And so here, so the responsibility of the saints, what is it? First, I would say this, the responsibility of the saints, first and foremost, would you pray? Look at verse 18, pray for us. For we are sure that we have a clear conscience desiring to act honorably in all things. Would you pray for your leaders? Please, please pray for your leaders. We can't, we don't want to do this without the prayers of the saints behind us. I can tell you, and I think I speak for the other elders that are in here, one of the most encouraging things that ever happens to us in leadership is when you all come to us and say, we're praying for you. And even better, when you all come to us and say, how can I pray for you? Oh, like we want to be doing that for you, but oh, please do that for us. We need your prayers on a regular basis so that we can persevere in what God has called us to do. First, responsibility of the saints, pray. Second, yield. Yield to godly leadership. Third, I'm adding this one in here, engage. Engage. What do you mean by that? I mean this, commit yourself to your involvement in the body of Christ. We have six elders here at the church. We can't be intricately engaged in every aspect of 1,000 people's lives. It's just not possible. It's not. It's too many. You know, all the studies say, like, the most people you can know is like 150 people in your life. Some of us, it's like, that doesn't apply to me. The most people I can really know well is like six. It's not 1,000. We can't. We do our best. But what we're predominantly supposed to do, our predominant responsibility is to believe God's word and live it out in your midst and to teach you God's word and to call you to obedience of God's word and then to oversee this local church's life and ministry and mission to make disciples. And so what's that mean? That means that this church, all the saints here, must be committed to the building up of this body in love for the sake of its perseverance. Turn back a couple pages in Hebrews really quick to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. I'm gonna remind us really quick of this passage and its call to us. Hebrews 10 let's start in verse 23. He says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Why? Because he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. You see, it isn't just the leaders here that are meant to care for the church. That responsibility falls on all of us. That means that we have to choose to connect into the life of the church. We have to choose to plug in here in this local body of Christ, connect in, begin receiving encouragement from the church, begin contributing encouragement to the church, begin receiving care in the church, begin contributing and giving care in the church. I thought about this the other day when those storms came through, that the front wave of that storm knocked out our power, whatever time that was, like 8 p.m. or something. And we didn't have power till like 7 a.m. the next day. And so as soon as the power knocked out, the first thing I did was I went over to my nightstand there in my bedroom and where I have flashlights. And I pulled out a flashlight, my biggest flashlight, and I clicked it and there was nothing. And I'm like, so I'm just chewing. I'm like, this is ridiculous. Why is nothing? Then I thought about that and I go, well, it's my fault. I mean, I don't think I've charged it in years. And so I was expecting this to do what it was supposed to do without it having been connected to where it gets the ability, the energy that it needs to do what it's supposed to do. And that's what we do sometimes in the local church. Like, I'm here. Okay, I want to receive from the church. It's like, no, you have to connect into this body of Christ. You have to be part of it. You're like, I want to receive care from the church and I want to persevere in my faith through the means of God's people around me. Then is what you have to do is you have to be willing to take that step of commitment to actually be in the body of Christ. The way I'd put it this way, I like to describe church membership in this way. Church membership is simply becoming and committing to be what you already are in Jesus Christ. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, It tells us that when we place our trust in Jesus Christ and he saves us, we are united with Jesus Christ and we are connected into the body of Christ, the church. And then now here in a local expression of that. So when you place your trust in Christ, you are a member of the church. And now is what we have to do is say, I commit to being in this local church what I already am because of Jesus Christ. I commit to receiving care and help and God's word so that I might persevere in my faith through this local church, and I commit to contributing that through my unique gifts and experiences and abilities that God has given me. Remember a few weeks ago, we talked about marriage. You know, we talked about this principle of you first. No, you first. No, hon, you first. And we said the best argument that you could have in your marriage is fighting over who gets to serve the other more. Right? It's a little like that with leaders and saints in the church. It's you first. No, wait, you first. Leaders should consider the saints more significant than themselves. And they do that by watching over the souls of the church, by believing, living, and teaching God's word, and overseeing the life and ministry and mission of the local church. Saints should consider the leaders more significant than themselves, listening to them, following them, praying for them, while remaining connected to the biblical community that God has placed you in, benefiting and being benefited by both the saints and the leaders in that place. Godly leaders are a means of grace that God utilizes to persevere his saints in the faith. And godly saints are a means of grace that God utilizes to persevere his leaders and his saints in their faith. And when the leaders of the church and the saints of the church are all about serving the other, you have this beautiful organism called the body of Christ. And it is glorifying and pleasing to the Lord. You might go, okay, Nate, how will we be able to do this? How can we do that? Hey, that's really difficult. And we're all imperfect people trying to do it. Oh, I'm glad you ask. This text tells us, look down at verse 20. This beautiful benediction comes in here to summarize basically the whole book of Hebrews. And it says this, now may the God of peace, hear that, may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, I believe the only time the resurrection is mentioned in Hebrews, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You've probably heard this before. What God requires, God supplies. God will equip us for everything that he calls us to. Everything. And here in this benediction, he's holding out the gospel and what has happened and who Jesus is in his person as a means by which he equips us. He's like, the God of peace sends his son to live the perfect life we are incapable of living, to die on the cross in our place as our perfect sacrifice, and he rose him from the dead. I love it. The Lord Jesus, King Jesus, the great shepherd, who purchases us by his blood, establishes the new covenant with it, and makes peace with God through Jesus Christ. He, that God, the same God who orchestrated our salvation, will equip us to everything that he calls us to. So we have everything that we need to obey God's revealed will. Everything. That doesn't mean it's easy. That doesn't mean it happens overnight. It takes a lifetime of walking with the Lord. But he equips us to do what he calls us to do. to obey him, to glorify him. Nate, how does he equip us? Through his word, through his spirit in us that he gives us when he gives us eternal life, that communicates God's word to us and applies it into us in biblical community and under godly leadership. So Nate, how can I persevere in the faith? I want to persevere till Jesus returns, till I see him. I don't want to turn my back on him. I don't want to reject him. I want to keep going in my faith. Here's what I would say. Lean into God's grace. Lean into God's means of grace that he has given us so that you will persevere in the faith. What are his means of grace? His word, his spirit, his people, and his leaders. So I'd ask, how are you leaning into those in this season of your life? Are you leaning into God's grace through his word? Or is Sunday morning the only time that his grace from his word sweeps over you? Are you leaning into his spirit? Remembering the gospel, remembering that when he saved you, he indwelt you with his spirit, and he will never leave you, and he will never forsake you, and he is near to you, with you at all times. Are you crying out for his help on a regular basis? Are you connected into his community, his people, giving and receiving, contributing and being cared for in that community? And are you yielding to the godly leaders who have been asked to go out ahead, who you are meant to walk and imitate them as they imitate Jesus? Where do you need to lean into God's grace in this season? His grace is sufficient. Godly leaders and saints will persevere in our faith together by God's grace as we look to Jesus day by day by day. And we'll do it for God's glory. Which, by the way, don't forget, that's why we exist. It's to make much of him as individuals and as a church. And when it looks this way, we glorify him. My goal, my hope 8 months ago when we started this book was that we would walk away more in love with Jesus at the end. And I hope that's been the case for you. Seeing Jesus properly in all his glory, looking to him for our perseverance and our faith no matter what comes our way in this life. Hear me, there is nothing that you will face today, tomorrow, the next day, or ever that Jesus will not walk with you through. Look to him for your everything. He's better. He's better than what, Nate? All of it. All of it. And he is worth it. At the beginning of this series, I read this quote from theologian Dennis Johnson that kind of summarizes the book of Hebrews. I want to read it to us again as we close this out. He says this, Hebrews exhorts suffering and wavering Christians to endure rejection and hardship for their faith. Why? Because Jesus, God's Son, is the superior revelation of God. He is the reconciler to God, and he is the ruler who secures our heavenly inheritance, which is God's unshakable kingdom. Keep going, church. Keep trusting him. Keep looking to him. Keep helping each other stay faithful. He is the faithful one. Look to the faithful one and then be faithful to what he has called you to do. And let's close with this benediction. And I'd ask, as I read this, would you even just, between you and the Lord right there, pray this over our church and over your life? Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen, amen, and amen. Father, would you help us do just that? Lord, would you help us? Oh, I thank you for this book. thank you for how you have shown us in your word the beauty of your son. His life lived, his sufficient sacrifice, his victorious resurrection. Thank you. Thank you that now as we place our faith in you, we are seen by you in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And thank you now that with your Spirit's help through your word and amongst your people and led by your leaders, we can spend this life becoming what we already are in our union with Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we know that and we desire to persevere in our faith, to step from this world into your glorious presence, following you faithfully. Lord, would you help us through your means of grace? Would we daily lean into you for our everything, depending on you for all of it, trusting you? And then as an overflow of all of that, Lord, would we proclaim you? Would we tell the good news about you far and wide to everyone that you put us into contact with, Lord, so that more people may know your saving grace and your daily sustaining grace as we walk through this life. You are good. Ah, Lord, now we leave this morning's service making much of you, glorifying you with our lips together, Lord. You are worthy. You are worthy. In your precious and in your powerful name, amen.